The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. So, during my college days, I spent a couple of summers working as one of the counselors at a church camp in Hough's Church, Pennsylvania. That's in the middle of nowhere. On one of the Saturdays between camping sessions, about 10 of us ventured to Allentown Fair. That weekend, two musical groups were performing at the fairgrounds, and we managed to get some last-minute tickets for ourselves. I didn't personally follow the musical stars of that time period, but my fellow counselors seemed quite excited about one particular group we were going to see and hear. There was considerable anticipatory noise in the stands as the long-awaited hour approached. But when the time arrived and the crowd had quieted, we found that we would have to listen to the forerunner first, that musical group that was to prepare us for the main event, get us all excited, all emotional, ready for what was to come. The warm-up act began with a single man walking out onto the outdoor stage from behind a curtain. He was dressed rather strangely. He appeared on the barren stage dressed in some kind of colorful Western-style outfit, and he was wearing a sombrero on his head. His attire set him apart from the crowd. He was playing a trumpet, and the notes were pure and sweet and enchanting. So too was the appearance of the other musicians who joined him one by one as they gathered on the stage and the volume of their music gradually increasing. They were playing, this checks your age, The Lonely Bull. The group was then called Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. I enjoyed their music immensely, and they received considerable applause when they finished their performance. They had played several captivating melodies. And then they left the stage, one by one, just as they had entered, their departing notes decreasing, fading into silence. After a brief interlude, the main attraction was introduced to thunderous applause. The crowd went wild when Diana Ross and the Supremes appeared on the stage. I had never heard of them before. Indeed, they had gained some popularity in a niche audience when they were called the Primettes. But then they signed with Motown Records, became the Supremes, and soon they were Diana Ross and the Supremes. They were mainstream stars. I was playing baseball, so I never heard of them. Especially Diana Ross. She was always a star, it seemed, and they were very fine vocalists. That's just my opinion. Still, I preferred the music of Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. So did some others. That was the kind of problem John the Baptist had to overcome as the forerunner of Jesus. When he walked out of the desert and onto the Judean stage, wearing his camel's hair and leather belt and eating wild honey and locusts, he had a problem. He had a following. People were paying more attention at times to him than they were to the one he was announcing. But it was his time to leave the center of the stage. It was drawing close. The trumpeter's call was coming to an end, and John knew it. So the crowd that had gathered around him from the countryside in Jerusalem needed to move on to another, to the one whose sandal John was not worthy enough to untie. But even as John pointed to another who was coming after him, questions lingered as to who John was. The questions came not just from the common people in the countryside in Jerusalem, but also from the political and religious authorities who desired to avoid any unrest from the masses. And so we have in today's gospel reading challenges from the priests and Levites who were sent by the Pharisees to interrogate John. Some of the things that John had been doing, some of those recorded last Sunday in Mark's gospel, were suggesting that maybe John had a bigger role to play. His attire, the way he spoke, the way he acted, seemed to indicate the end of times might be near, like the return of Elijah. This was somewhat disturbing. With all of that talk of John, the end times, came the threat to the established order of things, both to the religious leaders in Jerusalem and to the Roman rulers. So in the hopes of putting such nonsense to rest, the priests and Levites asked John, "Who are you?" And John responded point blank that he was not the anointed one. He was not Christos. Then, trying to get John to show himself a disloyal Hebrew, a cultic leader who rejected what was sacred in the traditions of Israel, to undermine his clout with the masses, they ask him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." Then they pressed on, "Are you the prophet?" And John replied in the negative. His critics continued by demanding of John that he say something about himself, and so finally he gave them an answer as to his call and why he does what he does and says what he says. "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" John knew his place in the scheme of God's history and his importance as the trumpeter of the coming Messiah, of another who was already standing among the people. All of this had been made clear at the beginning of our gospel reading today. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but came to testify to the light. He was never meant to be the main event, but his God-given role was of immense importance because it was given by God. It made how he lived special. John's peculiar and distinctive character appears even before his birth. Events began with the announcement by an angel, a vision in the temple, a father prohibited from speech, and Elizabeth's extraordinary fertilization. His conception wasn't as miraculous as our Lord's, still a birth when his mother was advanced in years. Puts it in the category of Sarah's conception of Isaac. Then, while still in the womb, he spoke. The one who was designated to announce the Messiah didn't just stir the first time he was in the presence of the Lord. He leaped for joy. Though we can only conjecture about his years before his public ministry, his appearance calls forth detailed exactness in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. Later, we are introduced to his preaching, and no seeker-sensitive approach for this man. In an act that defines boldness and defies diplomacy, he refers to his congregation as a brood of snakes. I wouldn't think to ever call you that. John might. We have come to understand him as someone who drew crowds in spite of what he said sometimes. Even the ruler Herod, who imprisoned him and would kill him, would sneak off to hear him gladly. John's role was clear no matter how people saw him or what they said about him. His calling was to be the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, a forerunner, more than a prophet, and greatest of those born of woman. Since Mary was given the exalted role of giving birth to the Son of God, we might say that John was entrusted with the responsibility of putting the water of repentance upon the forehead of the one who would never know sin. John had denied being the kind of prophet that the Jews of his day thought of as a prophet, and as many of the world today thinks a prophet should look like. John teaches us what a prophet life today is all about. As Martin Luther once put in a sermon on this morning's text, therefore, in the simplest and most straightforward manner, John denied being a prophet, although abounding in the properties of a prophet. And by John's very life invites you and me into that kind of prophetic life. And our Lord wants a church full of prophets. And by that is meant not a church full of people who think they can foretell the future, but people of faith who can interpret Scripture and thereby interpret the will of God for others to see and to hear. Such prophets may take on the establishment, challenge illicit authority, speak out when someone is being treated unfairly, identify correct behaviors as the sin it is, testify to God in the name of Christ in hostile environments, do all sorts of things that this world might define as crazy. Among the craziest things Christian prophets do is get themselves out of the way, especially when they have received a lot of attention for the bold stances they have been taking because of living out of God's will. That is something the priests and Levites and Pharisees did not like about John. John was stealing attention from them and then not acting like they did after he got the crowd's acclaim. Martin Luther had a nice way of making this point. He claimed that John directs people away from himself to Christ. Elsewhere in the Gospel of John, it is said of John that he was a burning and shining lamp, but not the light. We are all called to be like John the Baptist, to devote our lives to seeking the will of God, getting out of the way and away from acclaim. So it is clear that, like John, our witness is always about Jesus and only about him. This way of living gives wonderful testimony to the joyful news that we are not saved by who we are or what we do, but by Christ and only him. So put on whatever kind of clothing you want to wear and observe whatever kind of diet you want, however strange it might seem to others around you. For you are sent by God to tell the authorities of this world, who think and act and rule only for their own benefit, to make straight the way of the Lord. For his coming is ever near.